Let me bring in our hypnotist, Marshall Silver.
It's Marshall Silver, ladies and gentlemen, the world's fastest hypnotist.
Hello there. Welcome home. This is Marshall Silver. We are live at Marshall Silver Live, hence the name. Do you ever wonder about coincidences, about things that just are just odd? This morning I was chatting with the wife. We were searching for a new home, as you know, for Prosperity Theater and Studio Money. And we've looked at a lot of properties. We just looked at a property that the street address was 2385. And I didn't think a whole lot about it till I looked at it and was pondering on it and thinking about it. And I became a hypnotist at 23 years old. And it has been stellar. It's been my life. And interestingly enough, I was 23 in 1985. So how cool is that? My wife, my beautiful bride, who's the best decision I ever made. Anybody that knows me for more than 5 minutes will hear me talk about Erica by that time, almost guaranteed. And I was also thinking about another weird coincidence this morning. My wife, my beautiful bride, and I don't know how many other women experience this same thing or how many other guys, their wives or their girlfriends or both, I don't know, are the same way. But my wife has never, ever passed gas publicly. I've never heard her fart, ever. And she probably doesn't want me telling you this. But I didn't really think much about it. I mean, it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. I'm not complaining. But then I realized she also homeschools our kids. And, you know, sometimes you don't realize how things are connected. And then it dawned on me this morning, I've never heard my wife pass gas in public. And she homeschools our kids. And I realized it's because she's a private tutor. And there's the energy of the day. Yes. I was thinking we need more comedy on Marshall Silver Live. We definitely do. We need more fun. So I'm going to start telling you a joke of the day every single day. You decide whether it's a good joke or you decide whether it's just dad jokes. And I'll make a little prediction. They're dad jokes. They just are. It's just by nature. I'm very excited about our guest today. We have so many amazing people. And this gentleman is at the top of the list of being amazing. Bryce Henson is a renowned fitness entrepreneur who's turned his passion for wellness into a thriving business empire. Bryce's commitment to fitness goes beyond personal health. He's dedicated to motivating others to transform their lives through the power of physical activity and healthy living. As a leader of a majority of a major fitness franchise, he not only shapes bodies, but also influences lives across the globe, fostering communities centered on wellness. So whether you're a fitness professional, a budding entrepreneur, or someone looking for the inspiration to kickstart a healthier lifestyle, Bryce's insights and experiences are bound to motivate and educate. We're going to discuss key topics such as the importance of community and fitness, the business of wellness, and how to maintain a balanced, healthy lifestyle amidst a very hectic schedule. Please, with a nice, big Marshall Silver Live welcome, let's bring out Bryce Henson. Welcome to the show.
Marshall, very excited to be on the show today. Very excited to connect. And I love that dad joke. Great way to start the episode.
Well, I saw you laughing in the green room. I saw you laughing. And so I'm grateful. It is my nature. My kids give me grief all the time about dad jokes. Do you have kids?
I don't. Not yet. But that's the goal.
Well, good. You should be writing these jokes down because you will definitely need them.
So, thank you.
Welcome home, my friend. Glad you're with us. Where are you right now?
Near Los Angeles, California.
Which city?
Corona. Well, actually, I live in Corona, but Chino Hills, which is a suburb just southeast of LA.
Sure. Yeah, we are down right now in Carlsbad, California, which is where my beach house is, but our main residence is in Las Vegas. And we're looking, as I was mentioning at the top of the show, we're looking for a venue to put an entertainment education facility into Southern California, where we can do shows and do live educational events, do broadcasts and more. So tell me, obviously you've been in the fitness business a while. Why the fitness business?
Well, shoot, I had a personal touch, a transformation of fitness over 15 years ago, back in 2007. And I've lived in Los Angeles for the better part of 20 years, but I'm originally from the Midwest. Amazing place, great salt of the earth people, but not the fitness capital of the world. So I lived the majority of my youth. I always like to joke, I was allergic to lifting weights. Fast food is a staple of my diet. But I ended up moving out to LA about 2005. And I was excited to be in Los Angeles, the palm trees, the blue skies, the beaches. Certainly you've been in Southern California. I know your main residence is in Vegas, but a lot of things to offer here. But also LA can be the plastic capital of the world, especially when you're 21 years young, 3,000 miles from home, a little professional skills. But Marshall, what really was, I guess, my big inhibitor was I didn't have fitness in my life. I didn't have the energy, the confidence, the enthusiasm. And fortuitous situation happened. One of my dear friends till this day, his name was Adam. He's my first fitness mentor. And he took me under his wing. He introduced me to lifting weights, circuit training, clean nutrition, but most importantly, coaching and accountability. And after, you know, working with him for a better part of 2 years, but hyper-focused over 6 months, I dropped 20 pounds of body fat. I put on 20 pounds of lean muscle, but most importantly, I changed my life, changed the trajectory. And that's really what inspired me to start my pursuit in the fitness industry. And here I am 15 years later.
So tell me about your business. Are you a private trainer? Or do you coach multiple people at the same time? Or what do you do?
Yeah, great question. So I'm the CEO of Fit Body Bootcamp, which Fit Body Bootcamp is the fastest growing indoor fitness franchise in North America. We have 300 locations throughout North America. 90% of those are in the States. We're based here at franchise headquarters in Los Angeles. And our secret sauce, our studios, they perform group training. So all the benefits, the results that you get from a one-on-one trainer, but done in a group setting, so that way it increases the energy, increases the accountability and camaraderie, and also at a fraction of the price. So that's our business model, if you will. And how I got into it is after I went to my own fitness transformation, which I just articulated, I ended up logging in or opting in to now my business partner, who is the founder of Fit Body Bootcamp. His name is Bedros Koulian. And this is about 15 years ago. He was talking about, you know, launching a fitness business, growing a fitness business, getting clients great shape. This was back in the day of one-on-one personal training, but I followed on his list for a bit of time. And then in 2012, when this little thing called Fit Body Bootcamp, which he started as a licensee program, was transitioning into a fitness franchise, I was very interested in that. At this period of time, I had sales experience, but I didn't have business experience, operation experience, all the things that you need to, you know, the skill sets you need to be able to execute to run a fitness business. So I decided to put an expression of interest in and followed along. And as it turns out, I launched one of the first fitness franchise locations we had back in 2012. So I started as a franchise partner, and then one thing led to another, ended up scaling to a handful of locations, was very successful with the brand, became really good friends with our founder, now my business partner. And then he ended up offering me a vice president role, which then turned into the CEO role. So that's, I guess, a little bit about the brand, what I do, and how I got involved.
I love it. What a great adventure. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the power of accountability and why most people don't succeed in their workouts. I had a trainer a long time ago who was this big strapping black guy. And extremely fit. He was a dealer at a casino near my home in Vegas. And back in the day when I was single, I played blackjack. And so I got to know the guy. I liked him a lot. And he said, Marshall, you should let me train you. And I said, I'd love to have you train me. And so he'd come over and he would train me at the house. I had a nice gym at the house. And one day he was stretching me. So he's having me, I'm laying on my back and he's pushing my legs back and he's doing a really deep stretch. You might call it a missionary position stretch, because that's the exact position we were in. And he's got me pinned down on the floor, and I'm you know, feeling the stretch, and it's feeling really good. And then all of a sudden he says to me, well, he's got me in that very vulnerable position. Did I tell you I spent 8 years in prison? And I said, number one, no, you didn't. And number two, this is a really odd time to inform me. This is very strange. But the point of the story was I paid him to come train me every single day. And some days I wouldn't want to work out. And I would tell him, you know, I don't want to work out today. Let's work out tomorrow. And the first time it happened, he came to the house, and I said, you know what? I apologize. I didn't call you, but I don't want to work out today. And he said, okay. And he left. I said, I'll pay you anyway, of course, but I don't want to work out today. About a week later, it happened again. I was hungover, and it happened again. And he said, okay, let's not make this a habit. And then, and I said, I'm paying you anyway. It doesn't really matter. And he didn't say much. And then he left. And then he said, he came back again. It happened one more time. And I said, you know, I'm paying you. So don't be upset about it. It's okay. He said, I don't want your effing money. I have zero desire for your effing money. You didn't hire me so you could pay me money. You hired me to get you in shape, and it's an insult. And he started going off on me. Well, that coupled with the fact that he'd spent 8 years in prison and could pin me down, I said, you got to leave my house right now. And he left. And I was, you know, not happy with it. But then I thought about it, and he was 1,000% right. That I was insulting him. I'd hired him for a job. I wasn't letting him do his job. And I was making him think that, you know, so I thought so little of him that all he was the money. And it was pivotal to me. It was really pivotal on so many levels that if you're going to hire somebody, be accountable to what you hired them for. But the other piece of it is absolutely the best way to get in shape is that accountability piece. So let's talk a bit about that.
Yeah, incredible story, and good on you and good on him as well. I think when you break it down, accountability, we all need it as humans. And I think if you are, you know, honest as a human nature perspective, many times human nature, we will disappoint ourselves way more than we will disappoint another person. And that's really the magic and the power of accountability. And, you know, Marshall, when I was sharing my story in terms of, you know, how I got in fitness and I went through my own transformation, you know, when I first started out, of course I was, you know, on YouTube and watching videos, but I tried with a couple false starts to get in shape. But it wasn't until that I hired my friend Adam to have accountability, because let's face it, at that period of time, and still to this day, I didn't want to disappoint Adam. Maybe I would have disappointed myself, but when I had that commitment and had that agreement with Adam, that made all the difference in the world. And you can look at that, you know, being vulnerable for a second. I'm a recovering alcoholic. There was probably a period of time, there was a few tries over a few years. I tried to stop drinking alcohol, cold turkey, but it wasn't until I found a mentor. I joined a 12-step program, which is really an accountability program where I put my, I guess, faith into another human being who'd been where I wanted to go, who had been that guide for me. And again, in that second example, that accountability was everything. So I think when you break it down, humans need accountability. That's really where the magic happens and why it's so important. And specifically, we've built our business model around that, because humans need accountability to drive results. Because let's face it, not all days are sunshines and rainbows. The days that you didn't feel good, Marshall, when you were there. But having an accountability partner or a coach, or even better yet, someone that you hire, will make all the difference in the world.
I ask this of all the fitness professionals that we have on the show. And, you know, again, we teach what we most need to learn. I am in a reinvention phase for my health. I quit drinking alcohol last July and just said, I'm done. I drank my fair share already. I'm done. It was simultaneous to me tearing both my meniscuses playing racquetball with my wife. And I had prayed that it would just heal itself, and that eventually I'd be back and be able to play racquetball and, you know, go for walks or runs, whatever I wanted to do. I could not. And it, over months and months and months, it just didn't get better. And so I finally just did PRP therapies on my knees 2 days ago, actually. And we're in the healing phase. And while I'm still in pain, everyone I've talked to that has had similar circumstance and done those PRP injections has said it was a miracle to them, that it was remarkable. My question to you, though, aside from all of that, is what do you think is more important for a person of like myself, who's got an extra, gosh, at this point, 40 pounds, my greatest, unfortunately, about 65 pounds, but now still about 40 pounds that I'm taking off, which is more important? And I know they're both important. Which is more important, diet or exercise?
Great question. And if you're asking specifically for weight loss or body composition change, weight loss will get you a better result if you focus on your nutrition. Your nutrition is the source for you losing weight without a shadow of a doubt. Now, that said, exercise single-handedly is probably the best thing that you can do for your overall health and also brain health. It's interesting because many people, when they want to lose weight, which 80% of our population is either obese or overweight, so 8 out of 10 people in the States need to lose weight. When you ask the average person, most people think, well, I just need to move more. And certainly movement will help you physiologically from a mental perspective. But going back to the question, Marshall, if you want to lose weight, if you want to change your body composition, you need to dial in nutrition. But that does not to say that, you know, exercise is not super important, which it is. And if you can combine both of them, you can get the weight loss, you can get nice and lean. And also too, you can do a lot of benefits for yourself, for your body, money, and soul. But again, from an exercise perspective, your mindset will probably benefit the most there.
It's always hardest in the beginning. And, you know, again, when people start seeing results, the results are the motivation. And they go, yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm looking good. I got, you know, the girl at the desk next to me said I was looking amazing, and that motivated me. What do you say to people, or what are some strategies or tactics people can use in the beginning when they're saying, you know, my fat old body is having such a hard time, this isn't fun? What do you say to people?
Yeah, that's such a great question. You're so right. In terms of momentum is a real thing. So if you get motivation, you know, going back to the hiring accountability coach, hiring a trainer, hiring a group, you know, joining a program where you have group accountability, you are definitely setting yourself up for exponential success versus going it alone. So first and foremost there. The second point is, interestingly enough, when I first started my workout journey, I was not a morning guy. In fact, I started begrudgingly working out in the evening. So after, you know, work, my friend Adam, who just talked about, we would go to the gym 3 or 4 times a week. But then what happened is I gained traction, I gained that accountability. But there was a few days, what I noticed is I'd have an off day or a meeting would go over. And then before you know it, I actually would not hit my workout. So about 6 months into that journey, I started adjusting my workouts. And I asked Adam, he was on board. We started going before work and not after work. So attacking that day, because the first thing you can do, if you get up and start moving your body, then what happens is you build momentum. And then once you build more momentum, things get easier. And then to your point, you start seeing a little bit of results. When you start seeing a little bit of results, then guess what? That motivation, you get excited. And that's my story. And that's so many stories of health and fitness. So, you know, twofold, get a high accountability coach or hire a group training program so you have that built-in guidance, accountability, and then start working out in the mornings. And that will set the tone for your day, and the consistency compounds. Once you start to get a little momentum, you'll be more inspired to continue on the journey.
My experience is, if I don't work out first thing in the morning, I'm not working out.
Amen.
That all sorts of stuff comes up, and I get distracted. It's the end of the day. I'm tired. The lunch ran long. Maybe, yep, you know, it was a very important business lunch and I ate a little bit too much and I don't feel like working out. I know if I don't work out first thing in the morning, I'm likely not working out that day. Is that most people?
I would say yes. It is absolutely true, because let's face it, I mean, we live in one hand, like the most amazing time ever with technology and all the, you know, first world and all the development, you know, developments that we have from to make our standard of living very, 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 very nice and comfortable. On the other side, we are just bombarded with technology and notifications and busyness and work and school and kids and all the things, right? So to your point, Marshall, if you don't attack it first thing a day, stuff's going to happen. You're going to have a meeting that goes late. You're not going to feel good. You're going to have lower energy. So by far, my strongest recommendation is to get it done. There's a famous book, I want to say, by Brian Tracy, Eat That Frog. And it was after a parable. And the parable was like, if you had to eat a live frog every day, when would be the best time to eat that live frog? Well, first and foremost, that's not really a fun outlook to have to eat a live frog. But if you were going to do that, the worst thing you could do is wait until the very end of the day, because you're thinking about that task the whole day. The best thing you could do is just get it done, and then you're off to the day. And that'd be the same with working out and or doing your most, you know, from a business context, your most critical, important task first. Get that done out of the way, and the rest is smooth sailing.
So kind of worst things first. Get the thing done that you least want to do, and usually the thing we least want to do is the thing that's best for us.
Worst things first. I love it. I'm going to take that, Marshall. I love that.
I don't blame you. I'm going to talk about frogs later on too. So life is good. Good trade. What do you think is a good starting place for somebody who has not really done a workout program for a long time? Is it just walking? Is it, you know, some is obviously better than none. Where do people like me start?
Yeah, I love that question. I'll actually give a 30,000 foot view. So, you know, I'm a fit guy. This is my business, and rightfully so. I should be fit so I can walk my talk, if you will. I work out 30 to 35 minutes a day. When people ask me that, they're like, Bryce, you're 11% body fat. You're super dialed in. You have a good lean muscle frame. You mean you're not crushing hour and a half, 2 hour, 3 hour workouts a day? And the answer is absolutely not. 30 to 35 minutes a day will keep the doctor rate. And that's even long-term. Now, granted, I work 6-7 days a week, and that's not necessarily recommended or prescribed, but I would say starting out 3 times a week, moving your body, even if it's for 20 minutes, again, when you start gaining a little momentum, momentum's a real thing. Consistency compounds. So if you're listening to this right and you're watching this particular live and you're thinking, you know what, it's been, you know, forever since high school, since I've been, you know, working out, I would strongly encourage you, just move your body 3 times a week for 20 minutes a time. And that will put you in a situation where you can build off that. And then long term, you know, even if you're working working out 3 to 4 times a week at 30 minutes, which is, again, a prescribed secret sauce. Now, granted, high intensity interval training is really what you want to gravitate to, which means during that course of the 30 minutes, you're moving your body the whole time. But going back to your point, Marshall, if you're starting cold turkey, move your body 3 times a week, 20 minutes a day. And if that means go for a walk, awesome. Start walking. If that means you can start running, great. You know, adding some resistance training, doing some push-ups, some sit-ups to work on that skeletal muscle mass. These are all things that you can incorporate and build off as you grow.
Your 30-minute workout, what percentage is cardio versus resistance?
50-50. So about half of the workout is cardiovascular to keep my, you know, cardiovascular system strong. And about 50% of that, so about 15 minutes a day, is resistance training. And typically I'm doing a full body workout. So doing some sort of squat exercise, doing some sort of core exercise, and some sort of upper body exercise. And the nice thing when you do a circuit training workout in a very efficient format, you can superset. So meaning you're not doing, as an example, a set of weights, and then you're waiting 5 minutes, which is the old standard of working out. You do a set of push-ups, and then while your upper body's relaxing, then you can do, you know, a set of squats. So you're moving the whole time and you're exercising different body parts. But going back to the point, 50% cardio, 50% resistance training. If you do that long-term, even 3-4 times a week, you will set yourself up for exponential health long-term.
Love it. What's your favorite form of cardio?
I'm a runner. Most guys, if you're listening to this, it's interesting. I didn't know this until getting in the fitness industry. I was probably running was always, I guess, second nature to me. I wasn't overly athletic growing up, but I was a soccer player. So soccer players run. So that was my method of operation. But what I found is a lot of guys are resistant. Women are typically more open to running. I don't know, maybe it's the movement pattern. So for guys, if you're listening to this, you know, if running's not your forte, you can run steps, you can do burpees. I mean, there's a lot of, you can do elliptical equipment. There's a lot of variations of that. But for me, my go-to is running, not only for the cardiovascular, but it just clears the brain fog. And going back to the conversation earlier, when you asked the question, hey, I want to lose weight, what's the best recommendation, either exercise or diet? I would say for your mind, if you will, running is an incredible tool for that. So I use running not only for the cardiovascular, but to keep my mind nice and sharp.
And what do you do for people that are extremely active in their lives and they just flat out say, I just don't have any time? How do people stack their workout into the rest of their existence, their work and their private time? Stand-up desks, treadmills by their computer. What are some maybe tricks or tactics people can use to just get themselves moving? Is it somebody who keeps a 15-pound dumbbell at their desk and does curls while they're throughout the course of their day? What can they do?
Well, here at a Fit Body, it's interesting. We have many of our teammates here that have the walking stand or the standing desk, but also two little Pelotons while they're walking as well. So that's a great, you know, tip or trick to keep you moving. Also, getting an application that can track your steps. What gets measured gets improved. So if you start a habit of just tracking your steps, that will actually go a long way. It will motivate you to continue to walk more and move your body more. So those are low-hanging fruit. But Marshall, I'm going to push back a little bit and say, you got to give me 2% of your day. 30 minutes is 2% of your day. If you can give me that three times a week, I will dramatically increase the quality of your life. And if you can't give me 2% of your day three times a week, really what you're saying is you're not prioritizing your health and fitness. So yes, you're busy. Marshall, you're busy. I'm busy. We're all busy. But at the end of the day, prioritizing your health and fitness, and again, 30 minutes a day, 2% of your day will go a long way, even if you start three times a week. So that would be my, I guess, in your face type of accountability type coaching.
What are some quick dietary changes people should make immediately to get back on a health track?
Two things, actually not nutrition focused, but will increase your nutrition. It'll increase your palate to be open to more healthy and fit foods. Number one, increase your water intake. The vast majority of Americans are chronically dehydrated. So when you're dehydrated, you have the feeling what many times people misconstrue as hungry when you're actually thirsty and dehydrated. So if you increase your water intake, of course, we all know the value of hydration. It'll flush out your body. It'll flush out, remove toxins. It'll also make you feel full, which will allow your body to not overeat, which is a really good thing. The other thing is most Americans do not get enough sleep. You know, I hear horror stories, you know, when I'm at my gym, people sleeping 4 hours, 4.5, 5 hours, even 6 hours. Most people need a solid 7 to 8 hours of sleep. So a simple trick, okay, increase your hydration, increase your sleep to get 7 to 8 hours a night. And that will dramatically increase your, or better your body composition. It'll also make sure that you don't feel hungry and angry and all these, I guess, bad feelings, which then prone people to overeat. Then, you know, if you're hungry, if you're tired, if you're exhausted, you are typically more prone to pick up the sugar, to pick up the fried food, et cetera. But when you're well rested, when you're hydrated, and of course, when you're working out as well, those, you know, nutritional dense foods, they taste a little bit better. So that's increasing the probability that you'll be able to maintain a healthy diet. So those are kind of a couple different tricks or hacks that will help your nutrition, but then not necessarily tied directly to nutrition.
Cardio first or resistance first?
Resistance first and then finish with cardio. Now, that said, do what you can with what you have. So at the end of the day, move your body, number one, especially if you're struggling. But if you really want to get more dialed in your fitness, lift the weights first, get your resistance going, and then finish with a cardio set.
Tell me the science behind that. Tell me the purpose.
Well, I think number one, resistance training can be more challenging, right? So anytime, even when you're running and doing cardio, you're breaking down, you know, your muscle fibers in your body. So resistance training is super, super important. The vast majority of Americans do not get enough resistance training. And especially it's so important as we age, we experience, just everyone experiences muscle atrophy. When you have less muscle in your body, your metabolism slows down. So the more you can do at the very beginning of your workout to increase your metabolic rate, to build lean muscle mass, to create resistance training, you're more likely then to get better workouts, and then your cardio will become that much easier.
What's your favorite sport?
Ooh, I would say growing up, it was soccer just because I was better at it. You know, I had a runner's frame, but I always enjoyed basketball. I just unfortunately didn't grow until my senior year in high school. So when I was freshman, sophomore, into my junior year in high school, I was 5'1". So I loved, NBA basketball. I still do to this day. I was a huge Lakers fan back in the day, growing up in the Midwest. Unfortunately, my height didn't catch up to me. So I'm more of a spectator than I am a participant.
And how tall are you now?
5'11". Not overly huge, but
that's a rocket after 18 years old, man.
I shot up 8 inches in my senior year, which is absolutely wild.
Yeah, that's cool. Where do your boot camps? Where are the facilities that the 300 facilities are? Are they in other gyms? Are they standalone buildings themselves? Are they pop-ups? What is the business?
Oh, great question. So they are standalone locations, but that's actually not how we started. So when I gave you the initial overview, when my business partner and founder of Fit Body Bootcamp, he started the brand. He started being a personal trainer back in 2007, 2008. And he used to have one-on-one clients. And then what happened in the Great Recession in 2008, a lot of his clients could not afford one-on-one training anymore. So what happened is he decided to pivot his model to still give them strong results, strong guidance, and strong accountability. But he changed his model instead of one-on-one training to doing boot camps in parks. And he did that from 2008, 2009, and 2010. And what he realized is from that pivot from the Great Recession and the real estate collapse, is it actually turned out to be a very lucrative program. So based off that group or that proof of concept in terms of moving to group training, then what he realized is he was in Southern California, but there was a lot of other trainers that were reaching out to Bedros and saying, hey, Bedros, how did you actually pivot your business model? And he's like, well, hey, I pivoted from one-on-one training to group, you know, training in parks. But the problem, and you know this, you know, to being true in on the West Coast, we have beautiful weather here, but a lot of part of the country, you have, you know, bad conditions in terms of weather. It's cold, it's hot, it's rainy, et cetera. So what he did, he started consulting his clients to shift the model from outside into cheerleading gyms, because cheerleading gyms, they use their space, you know, in the evenings when classes get out for high school and college. So they were wide open, though, in the mornings. So we thought, hey, that's a great opportunity. So from 2010 to 2012, we pivoted our model. We weren't standalone locations, but we took the model outside, inside into, we used to sublease from cheer studios. And then after that model had an additional proof of concept, we realized the limiting belief, or the limitation, if you will, we were able to run morning sessions, but there are still people that still take advantage of evening sessions. So we decided to shift the model. In 2012, we decided to move into standalone locations. So our 300 locations throughout North America, they're all standalone brick and mortar locations. They're about 3,000 square foot. So they're not massive gyms. They're more private boutique type studios, but it creates this intimate environment, really focused at community, at training, and results.
I love that. Obviously Bedros has had massive success and is world famous for all of that. And now I know who the brains behind the whole brand is. So the cool thing I also heard you say in there was something that I think most people don't think about. And what I say, it's not an either or world, it's an and world. So you guys were looking for a symbiotic strategic alliance relationship in putting the gym into these cheer centers, because you said, look, that cheer center is only used in the evenings when the kids are out of school and they need some extra time. So all morning long, it's completely empty. It would be an add-on value to the gym because it's found revenue to them. And it would be a massive reduction in overhead costs for us as we're launching this brand and making it work. One of the groups that's really good at that is churches. You know, a church will say, you know, we only need the space for 90 minutes on a Sunday morning. So they'll go to a school or a gym or whatever. One of my beliefs is that a strong business model is to take a look at what you're doing and ask yourself the question, what would be a non-traditional use or application of anything, whether it's a building, whether it's a business, whether it's a customer database, whatever it is. I had a fitness studio, standalone, single location fitness studio as a part of my inner circle. And the guy that came to me when he was on his hot seat, we were talking about it. And I said, tell me the kind of person that what's the avatar of a person that would come to your gym? So I want to start with that for you. And then I want to talk some more about some direction we gave them. So tell me, what's the avatar? And of course, we want it to be everybody. Except we know if we were to survey everybody, there is a demographic that's going to skew a little heavier than the rest. What is it for Fit Body Bootcamp?
Yeah, I love that question, Marshall. I mean, you're a seasoned pro, you're a seasoned business expert for sure. And that's a very seasoned question, because I feel as if many entrepreneurs, when they start their journey, they want to be all things to all people. And I can understand why that's the case. But if you try to be all things to all people, you are nothing to no one. So really, it's very important to understand and really be able to serve, market, message very clearly your dream client or avatar. So our avatar at Fit Body Bootcamp, we call her Mrs. Jones. She's in her 40s. She has a couple kids. She isn't a high performance athlete. She's not trying to shave off a second to make the NFL combine. In fact, it's the opposite. She's busy. She has work. She's school. She's a superhuman. However, she's prioritized everyone in her life, including her family, with the exception of her last. So our avatar doesn't necessarily love fitness. In fact, hasn't probably worked out since high school or even before, but knows that she needs, you know, guidance. She needs, you know, more fitness in her life, and also needs a community for guidance, accountability, and support, which is kind of a common theme in this particular conversation. So Mrs. Jones is our avatar. And then consequently, we market specifically to Mrs. Joneses. And then we get Mr. Joneses who come typically, you know, after the fact. We don't market to Mr. Joneses. And Interestingly enough, Marshall, guys like us, sometimes we're a bit more hard-headed in terms of our openness to coaching. So typically speaking, the woman, Mrs. Jones, comes in, gets a great result over a period of month, 2 months, sometimes upwards of 3 or 4 months. Her husband in the back end's like, hey, babe, you're looking pretty great. Like this Fit Body Booty Camp, which is the running joke in the back end, is actually working out. And you're telling me it's only a 30-minute program. You go 3 or 4 times a week, sign me up as well. So typically speaking, that's our dream avatar. That's our marketing strategy and how we fill our camps, both with Mrs. Jones, our dream avatar, and then Mr. Jones, typically her husband.
And what you just described is a very prevalent marketing strategy for many things. You know, the guy, as you said, watches his wife work out. She's starting to look hot. He starts getting worried. Oh, my God, my wife's looking hot again. Maybe I better get busy or she's going to, you know, tire of this fat old man very fast. But yep. It's also a lot of people don't realize, as far as the persuasion process goes, that if it's a couple, the woman is the decision making factor. That at the end of the day, I don't care who controls the purse strings, the wife controls the decision. That's why, you know, timeshare markets to women in relationship. They won't tour a single guy. They don't usually tour single women. They tour couples because they know the wife is going to make the decision. And say, not because they love the unit so much, they want to force their husband to go on vacation. We have a swear jar at our house. And I'm unfortunately the only one that ever contributes to the jar. And my kids are very fast to make sure the jar is on hand when I'm talking because they know, get that dollar in there very fast. And, you know, it's funny to me because the kids understand that process that, you know, who does what. And so it comes back to that same thing with you on your avatar. One of the other things I believe, and this was the distinction for the single location gym owner that came through my program, is I said, I also think something about people that care about their health. They care about their lives. Mm-hmm. And it's not just, you know, I may not care about my health if I wasn't in the circumstance that I'm in, teaching people, being visible, being on stage and all the rest. I've been frustrated for the last year that it's been literally painful to go across the room. And I love racquetball. I don't just like racquetball. I could play racquetball for 2 hours a day if you let me. I love racquetball. And not being able to play it since July has been a real bummer to me. So I'm excited to see where I go. The thing I said to my gym owner is I believe that you shouldn't just work out their bodies. You should also work out their minds. And here's why. People will pay more for a better mind than they'll pay for a better body initially. Once they have a better mind, then they'll realize they also need a better body. And I said, even though it seems like a reverse engineer of things, I said, why don't you hold business development classes at your location? You got all these other classes going on. You've got the rooms already set up in a classroom, a style. Why don't you hold wealth building classes at your gym? Because those same people that will take the, you know, the booty class or the spin class or the yoga class, if you said, oh, by the way, there's a business introductory class or there's $1 million year class coming up after this, no workout for your body, but complete workout for your mind. I said, I guarantee you a large percentage of those people would stick around. They launched that fitness wealth building brand simultaneously. And I won't give the name of the business because he didn't give me permission to, but the name of the business says it all. It says, come here to get, you know, sexy, rich, and famous, basically, is what it is. And I think that that's the first thing that's got to happen in anybody's transformation is they've got to make that mental shift and say, this is not me. I mean, you know, my daughter's sitting on my lap, tapping my belly and saying, is there a baby in there? That was the change for me. It was like, oh, my God, if my daughter thinks there's a baby in there, what's the rest of the world thinking about me? And I said, I'm done. So whatever it takes. But again, I'd already gotten up to 268 just because I wasn't paying attention. I got lazy after my heart open heart surgery. I'd gained 60 pounds in 60 days. And I just I'm a real human being, regardless of what I know on a superior level. And so then I had a massive sensitivity toward other people like me. You know, it used to be I would look at somebody that wasn't fit and I'd go, they've got no self-respect. I think God got me fat, so I would stop that nonsense and have a little more compassion and empathy. And that's probably why you've done so well as well, is that, you know, you weren't that strapping guy from the time you were born, want to be ripped. And then one day you said, you know what, I'd like to be more fit. How does that play into your success, having that level of empathy toward that 40-year-old Mrs. Jones who has worked her butt off taking care of her kids, providing for her household, you know, making sure she's there for her husband. How does that empathy fall into the brand, and how is it projected?
Everything, Marshall, everything. And I would say probably in most coaching businesses, there's a huge value if the coach, if the guide, if the mentor has been on the same journey just previously, you know, years or decades prior, because there is an emotional connection, there's an empathetic connection. And when the coach or guide can truly understand what your client or what their client is going through, that's where connection happens. That's where the guard goes down. That's when the resistance goes down. And that's when the open-mindedness to follow that coaching, you know, comes in. So interestingly enough, and I'm so glad you asked that question, Marshall, there are a vast majority, I shouldn't say majority, but there are so many of our franchise partners that actually have started becoming clients first. They, you know, get involved in our program. They, you know, get amazing results, both to your point, mind, body, and soul, have a mental transformation, a mindset transformation, a physical transformation. They drink the Fit Body Kool-Aid. They are part of our community. And then they're realizing, oh my goodness, like the next step, why don't I launch a community? Why don't I open a Fit Body Bootcamp location? And the beautiful thing is when they do and they share their story and when they're able to connect with their clients, there's just so much empathy there. The clients fully understand that they feel heard, they feel understood, they feel valued. And then therefore they can, you know, join on board and they get the coaching. They're more open to the coaching and the process repeats. So that's an incredible observation. And again, in the coaching world, I would imagine that, you know, that shows up. It's specifically in fitness because, you know, to put a bow on it, Marshall, fitness is a very emotional, very vulnerable thing. When someone, you know, has 50, 60, you know, 70, 100 pounds to lose, that's not a fun experience. That's a very vulnerable experience. So having a guide, a mentor that has gone where you want to go is critically important. And for me, that's why it's important. When I first, you know, became within the Fit Body brand, I was a Fit Body location owner. Then I became a multi-location owner. Even till this day, I'm a CEO of the brand, but I still have one location with my wife that she runs. So I'm a Fit Body owner. I'm a Fit Body coach. I'm a Fit Body client. And it gives me so much perspective, in your words, empathy, to be able to lead and run the organization. So incredible question that I just, you know, has been a huge part of my success. And also too, the success of many other franchise partners along that same journey.
So you've got 300 Fit Body Bootcamp franchises. Where are the majority of the locations? Are they specific to a geographic or are they worldwide?
So we're based in North America. Our franchise headquarters is in Los Angeles or Chino Hills, the suburb we were talking earlier. The vast majority of our locations, about 90%, are in the States, about 10% in Canada, and then throughout the country. I think we're about 40 states, heavy in California, heavy on the coast, but also to Texas, an example. So we're definitely throughout the map, and our goal is to continue to, you know, spread our brand, to spread our passion towards fitness, and our mission is to inspire fitness and change lives every day. And we still have our work cut out for us to continue to fill North America. But, you know, after that, our vision is to continue worldwide.
So tell me about the franchise and the opportunities for people there. I agree. We teach what we most need to learn. Early on, we were so poor. We were just so dirt poor. I said, I'm going to master making money. I'm going to figure this out so that myself, my family, my mother, you know, when I was a young man, and obviously now my wife and my children, that they never have to experience the humiliation and the suffering and the pain of not being able to eat or not having a place to live, being homeless, or not being able to wear decent clothes and suffering those humiliations. Tell me about the franchise and what makes Fit Body Bootcamp different than other similar franchises, and how somebody, you know, obviously there could be no bigger commitment to your health than having a Fit Body Bootcamp franchise, because yeah, you're a walking billboard. And if you're fat and sloppy, then people are going to say, you can't be in that business. You've got to be a product of the product. Again, much like me, I admit it. I humbly admit that while I may have, you know, certain parts of my life down pat, that's the reason I went in and said, okay, what can I do at level 62 with my body right now that will make sense and be a really good example, not only to my students, to my kids, and the people I care about as well. What makes Fit Body Bootcamp different?
I would say for sure it's our ability to be able to provide nutrition coaching, because the vast majority of franchise systems or gyms, they're really good at maybe building community or creating workouts. But as we talked about, working out is extremely important for your mindset and your overall health. It's probably one of the best things you can do. However, vast majority of population still needs nutritional guidance. 80% of our population is statistically obese or overweight, which has huge ramifications, both physically, mentally, and emotionally. So our secret sauce, you know, is nutrition coaching, is fitness and fat loss. We give provide incredible results for our clients, and we do it in a very efficient way. We talked about our secret sauce is 30-minute sessions, 2% of your day. So, you know, that's the bedrock of our particular franchise. And then, of course, it comes with all the bells, the whistles, the support, the business guidance, the launch. We actually have a 100-member guarantee, so which is very, very attractive to new franchise partners. Because let's face it, you know, we talked about getting started, whether it's fitness, whether it's business, is typically the most, you know, challenging thing. So we've structured our program because we, you know, launched in 2012 as a franchise system. And we've done this hundreds of times over. So we've been able to reverse engineer a launch program where we guarantee our new franchise partners, they'll start with over 100 paying members from day one, or we'll run their marketing until we do. And that's how confident we are. So those are a few of the unique selling propositions of Fitbody. And aside from that, I guess to put a bow on it, what we look for in the most successful franchise partners, number one, passionate about fitness and people. And Marshall, we are in even the people business more than we are the fitness business. So you got to love people. You got to love coaching and connecting with people. That's the first thing we look for. The second thing that we look for is highly coachable. We know the franchise partners who get the best results are the most coachable. It's the same with our fitness clients. The fitness clients who get the best results are coming to session at least three times a week. They're on a nutrition coaching program, et cetera. And the last thing that we look for, Marshall, that makes the most successful franchise partner is having a growth mindset, because leaders are learners. So, you know, someone that's investing in their health, investing in their fitness, investing in their mindset, listening to awesome podcasts and people like you, typically speaking, they have that growth mindset and they're more successful within our brand.
And then finally, before we wrap up, is there anything that you want to say to the folks that are watching right now? How do they get a hold of you? Is there a place they can go to find a Fitbody Bootcamp gym that they can sample and go check out? And where do they get more information?
Well, thank you for that. Our website is fitbodybootcamp.com. It would be the best way to find us. And I had an incredible time connecting with you, Marshall. I'll be happy to continue to add value to your audience. You can find me on all the social media handles, Real Bryce Henson, not to be confused with Fake Bryce Henson. So that's where you can find me there. And I guess to your point, the parting message, my friends, life is tough. It comes at you fast, but here is the truth. No one is coming to save you. You must save yourself, and the time is now. So I appreciate our conversation. Think the world of you, and hopefully that piece of value will continue to help your audience.
I love it. I look forward to seeing you very soon. We're down here in Southern California as well. So anytime you go south of the LA border down towards San Diego County, let me know. I'd love to connect and buy you a cup of coffee.
Appreciate it, Marshall. Thank you.
Hey, you bet. Take care, Bryce.
Likewise.
Great. Great guests, as always, here on Marshall Silver Live. We're having so much fun. My knees are healing. Yes, I'm in discomfort now, except I'm extremely happy that I did the procedure. I'll keep you posted, have the weekend to heal some more, and exciting things happening. I'm Marshall Silver. You are totally loved. Make it an awesome day, and remember, together we got this.